But it's great to be in here and be warm and worship the Lord together and to open God's Word. So we're going to continue in Hebrews chapter 13, and we'll be looking at verse 17 this morning. And have one more message after this morning in Hebrews, and then we'll move on to another book of the Bible very soon. We're going to be diving into the Old Testament book of Daniel, and we'll be looking at that book. So I hope that'll be as good of an experience as it sounds. We'll see, but it's a good book for us to dive into. So let's look at Hebrews 13, verse 17. It says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls, as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this in order that I may be restored to you the sooner." Well, the topic of this passage is very clear. It's about the relationship between the leaders in a local church and the congregation. And this is a very important topic because if you've been around the church very long, you've probably experienced or heard stories of churches that have been torn apart and devastated and split because of either poor leadership or a poor relationship between the leaders of the church and the congregation. Or maybe it's just because of a mean congregation that's difficult to lead. There's all kinds of different scenarios that exist. But what is very important is the relationship, a healthy biblical relationship between a church and the leaders that God has provided for a local church. And the exhortation, the first exhortation, is very clear in this text. The author says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them." The idea of submission and authority in our individualistic culture isn't very popular. But this is what the Bible commands. It commands that there's authority in a church that needs to be followed and submitted to. Now, one of the things I want to point out is the word "your." Obey your leaders and submit to them. Obedience to this command requires what we would call formal church membership. Okay? It requires that there is a formal, committed relationship within a local church where there is a recognition of who the leadership is and that there's going to be a submission to that leadership. So in order to be obedient to this command, you need to be formally committed to a local church with biblically qualified and faithful leadership. And when we talk about church membership here at Covenant Church, this is what we mean: a formal, committed, covenantal relationship between a church and an individual. And this is vitally important. It's hard to submit to leaders that you yourself are not formally, have not formally identified with as a part of that particular body. And the other side of this is that elders have to know who are the people that we are responsible to pastor and shepherd. Okay, where is our jurisdiction? Who are the people that we are responsible for? And because you need to know who your leaders are, and because elders need to know who they are leading, that formal relationship of church membership is vitally important. Okay, so if you're going to obey this command, you need to commit to a local church. And this also suggests that you need leaders. We all need spiritual leaders. So if for some reason you go from this place and go to a new community, and I'm talking maybe a lot to our young people who venture off and begin their own lives and sometimes leave home, you need to commit yourself to a church where you do the best of your ability to commit to a place that has biblical leadership that you can follow and submit to. And next in this exhortation is just the command that the church must follow the leadership of the elders. Okay, the Lord has given elders in the church spiritual authority. Okay, now we're going to talk about the nature of this authority in a second, but the Lord gives elders a spiritual authority that is to be followed and submitted to. In Acts 20:28, as Paul's talking to the elders at the church of Ephesus, he says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. So Paul's reminding these elders that they weren't only made overseers by the body of Christ, but the Holy Spirit, working through the operation of the body of Christ, set them apart and for that spiritual, that position that includes spiritual authority. It's the Holy Spirit that has granted that authority. And the Holy Spirit works through the members of the church to set apart men for the function of spiritual leadership. And these men are to be respected, obeyed, and their leadership is to be followed as long as it is in accordance with the Word of God. Now, elders have a particular jurisdiction of authority. Okay? This is really important to know, because you could easily become a part of a group where a person claims the kind of authority that doesn't belong to them. And that's what we would call spiritual abuse. Okay? Oftentimes, cults are characterized by a kind of authority that moves outside of a biblical jurisdiction and claims a kind of total authority on a group of people. So it's important to know, what kind of authority does an elder have? So when Hebrews 13 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, you have to ask yourself, in what ways? In what areas? Okay, so this is vital. And it's vital for elders to know, what is my jurisdiction of authority as God has set me apart for this duty? Well, the first area of jurisdiction is teaching authority. Is teaching authority. Elders are called to teach and preach the Word of God. And so an elder can teach from God's Word. Let's take an example, teaching on biblical stewardship and giving. Okay, let's say I was teaching on biblical stewardship and generosity. Okay, this teaching is authoritative, and as a church, we are bound to act in obedience to Scripture, to live generous lives free from the love of money. Okay, that if I was teaching from the Scripture on that, that would be authoritative from God's Word. We should follow the Word of God in those ways. But an elder does not have jurisdiction over what kind of car you drive. Okay? Does that make sense? So the elder has teaching authority to say, we are to live generously. We are to give sacrificially. Okay, that is an elder's jurisdiction to say, thus saith the Lord. But it's not my jurisdiction to come to your house and say, yeah, that car is a little too nice. You don't need to buy that car, right? Now, that might sound funny because we don't operate in that way. We don't try to dictate how you apply the Scripture to your life. But there are groups you can get involved in that would operate in that way. And that would be operating outside of a biblical jurisdiction. That would just be weird. Okay? That on its face is not how authority in the church is to operate. Okay? So if you are a part of the Mormon church, which isn't really a church, it's a cult, but at the end of the year, the bishop could call you in. That was over a local group of people or members, and could ask you to present your tax returns and to prove your income. And that can tell you that if you want to be in good standing with the church and with God, then here's what you need to make up in your giving for the year. Okay? That's just an absolute fact. That's a group of people or of leaders operating outside of any jurisdiction the Lord has given. Okay? So the Lord hasn't given the elders of the church any enforcement authority to extract from you. Okay? So when the text says obey your leaders and submit to them, there's a teaching authority, but not an enforcement of application authority. All right? So that's a vital, vital distinction. Okay? The other kind of another area of jurisdictions elders have would be what we would call recommending authority. An example is this. An elder has the authority to exhort a member of the church to do what God has called them to do. Okay, so an example. Scripture clearly says that we are not to neglect the assembly of ourselves together. Okay, so an elder in that instance has the authority to exhort a member of the church to come back to church and to stop neglecting worshiping the Lord with the body of Christ. And that exhortation carries spiritual authority as long as it's clearly in line with the Word of God. That carries a spiritual authority that ought to be obeyed and submitted to. So if you have kind of fallen off and you haven't been coming to church and you know you need to be present with the body of Christ, okay, what I'm telling you today is you need to get back into fellowship with the body of Christ. And that has authority according to Hebrews 13:17. The reason we call it recommending authority is because the elders have no way of enforcement. All right? No one can come to your house, okay, tie you up, throw you in the back of the church van, and bring you to church. Okay? There's no enforcement. You're not going to get a ticket in the mail. All right? Okay? You've got your lack of attendance ticket. Okay? There's no way of enforcement, but that doesn't mean it doesn't carry the authority. Authority of recommendation, because we've spoken from a position of scriptural authority. So that falls under Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to them. Okay? If it turns out that you've been committing adultery against your spouse and the elders come and say, stop committing adultery. Okay? You ought to stop. I mean, that's the jurisdiction of the elders. Okay, there's also organizational authority. The elders are called overseers. Okay, elders exercise oversight over the affairs of the church as an organization, and this authority has been delegated and delineated by the church. Okay, so the highest authority in the church is obviously Jesus Christ, but we are governed, okay, congregationally, by the will of the congregation, as we are constituted as the body of Christ, and we have clearly delineated what kind of organizational authority do the elders have. That's why we operate under a covenant and a constitution. Okay, the constitution simply describes how are we going to operate organizationally as a group of people, as the body of Christ. And so the Constitution, the congregation grants organizational authority to the elders. And that's just simply asking the question, how are we going to manage the life of the church? Okay, and so an example of this kind of authority would be, okay, it's COVID-19, And do we really want to all get together and vote on every decision on how we're going to operate during COVID-19? No. That would be an absolute disaster because there's just too many opinions. So the church gives the elders organizational authority. You guys get together. You guys seek the Lord. You guys have the welfare of the church at heart. Come up with the ways we're going to approach ministry in this unusual time. And so that kind of authority ought to be followed, even if there's differences of opinion, even if you think, well, I would have done it this way. Well, that's fine. There's a million ways to do various things, but when the elders have a particular authority and they exercise that authority, as long as it's within the bounds of God's word, then it should be followed and submitted to. So those are, I think, three types of authority that helpfully describe the kind of jurisdiction that elders have in the life of the body of Christ. Now, the text gives us an important motivation, a reason for the importance of following the leadership of the elders. And it's simply this: we ought to submit to our elders because they are keeping watch over your souls. In other words, God has designed in His church that a certain group of leaders is going to be actively engaged in watching after your spiritual life. Okay? And doing the best we can to watch after the spiritual life of a large group of people. So the primary task of an elder is really tending to your souls. That's the primary task of the elder. Okay, I remember several years ago there was a particular pastor who said we should change. He was teaching at a big conference, and he said that we should change the scriptural analogy from the pastor as shepherd to pastor as CEO. Okay, he made this big deal about we shouldn't think so much as a shepherd, but more as an organizational leader. And there's a Greek word for that. It's baloney. And there's a reason why Scripture gives us the analogy of the pastor or the elders as shepherds. Okay? It's because our main task is not organizational development. Oftentimes, churches make a massive mistake. They look for the best administrators, the best visionaries, the best organizational leaders to be their pastors. And oftentimes, those guys are not very good at tending after souls because they're CEOs and not pastors, not shepherds. Okay? The Scripture says that the reason you obey and submit to elder leadership is not because they are such great organizational leaders. It's because they are keeping watch over your souls. So when you think about the leadership of the elders, think about what we read in 1 Peter 5 that calls the elders to shepherd the flock. It says, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock." There's definitely the call here to shepherding the body of Christ. So what's included in this idea of watching over the flock, keeping watch over souls? What does that mean? What's included in that work? Let me give you several things. Okay, the very first priority of watching over souls is the preaching of God's word. Preaching and teaching of God's word is the very first priority. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching." Okay, that doesn't mean All elders have to have an ability to teach. That doesn't mean every elder does it in the same way, in the same venues. Some elders do a lot more teaching and preaching than other elders. Okay? That's fine. But soul care, watching over souls, includes the preaching of God's word. That's why Paul told Timothy, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Okay, that verse describes several aspects of watching after souls, reproving, rebuking, exhorting with complete patience and teaching. Okay, that's all a part of the preaching ministry of the elders in a local church. A second aspect of watching after souls is protecting. Like we read in Acts 20, verse 28, he says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Then he says, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. So the elders have to be active at protecting the flock, and particularly from false teaching and false doctrine. And then in verse 30 it says, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. So he's exhorting the elders that you've got to watch yourselves. You've got to hold each other accountable. And this highlights the importance of plurality. Okay? It's very important that we have a plurality of elders and shepherds in the church. Now, that's not possible in every single church context, but in most churches, there ought to be a plurality of elders, okay? Because the elders have to be watching after one another, holding each other accountable, and they have to be willing to confront another elder if they're wandering off into some type of false teaching or doctrine. We have to be very watchful in protecting the body of Christ. Another way elders watch after your souls is by warning you. Is by warning. In Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 16, the Lord tells Ezekiel, and at the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. And if I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way in order to save his life, that wicked person shall die for his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked and he does turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die from his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. Again, if a righteous person turns from his righteousness and commits injustice, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die because you have not warned him. He shall die for his sin, and his righteous deeds that he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the righteous person not to sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning, and you will have delivered your soul. Boy, that's a heavy, heavy passage for the leadership in a church. And I'll speak to the elders and those who may aspire to eldership. You can't be afraid to warn people clearly from the Word of God, because we will be held accountable. We're going to talk about accountability in a second, but it's very important that we warn people from the Word of God about sin and judgment and how God feels about such things. Another way we watch after your souls as elders is through discipline and spiritual growth. Discipline and spiritual growth. In 1 Corinthians 5, the elders of the church were not actively tending to people's souls in the area of church discipline. And Paul writes and says, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that is not even tolerated even among pagans. For a man has his father's wife, and you are arrogant. Ought you not rather to mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from among you. When you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. But what's the motivation for this kind of discipline that Paul is calling for? He says, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Okay? Elders must be those who practice church discipline so that spiritual growth can take place in the life of the church. In James 5:13, it says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The elders watch over your souls by praying for you and ministering to you when you are suffering, when you're rejoicing, when you have a spiritual need or a physical need. The elders are to watch over your soul by praying for you about such things. What's interesting in this text is the text is calling you to come to the elders to pray, to see that this is a part of the elder ministry and to initiate. I think oftentimes in the life of the church, church members kind of wait around for the elders to figure things out and for the elders to initiate. But part of the prayer of faith in this passage is that you initiate coming to the elders for spiritual help, for spiritual counsel, for prayer and ministry. And this is one of the ways the elders want to minister to you in the body of Christ. So if you have a need, then you need to come. You need to make it known. Don't wait until we figure it out. I think a lot of times people are having serious problems, serious issues, and they kind of want to hide from those things and not bring it to the church. But part of that submission to elders is saying, let the elders minister to you. Let the elders pray for you. Because we want to enter into those things and see the Lord do a mighty work. Now, another thing that's very important is that the elders will be held directly accountable by Jesus, the chief shepherd, for the way that they lead the church. Okay? That's why James says, not many of you should aspire to become teachers, because you're going to be held to a greater account. Okay, in 1 Peter 5, it says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. When Jesus appears, those who lead in the body of Christ will have to give an account to Jesus, who is the chief shepherd. In 1 Corinthians 3:10-15, Paul writes, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. So, this passage can apply, I think, to all believers, but I think in particular it applies to leadership in the church. That the way that leaders lead and the motivations for that leading, and just if it was done to honor Christ or to build up yourself, all these things will be revealed at judgment. It won't be a judgment about salvation. It'll be a judgment about how did you lead with the responsibilities the Lord has given. Now, One aspect of this that's very important is that elders lead the church, and this is crucial for the church to know and for elders to know. Elders lead the church knowing that they are accountable primarily to Jesus Christ. So that frees the elders up from leading in a way that sees the church membership as a constituency. Okay? In other words, as the elders lead, our primary goal isn't to make constituents happy. Our primary goal is to honor and serve Jesus Christ. And that's the way you want your elders to lead, under the authority of Jesus as the chief shepherd. You don't want us being tossed to and fro by the winds and the waves of the opinions of everyone in the room. You don't want us to be governed by what we think you're going to think. I can't be governed like that. I'll admit, as a person, sometimes I'm studying a passage and I'm writing out applications and I'm like, what are people going to think about that? How's that going to hit people? Now, obviously, you want to say things in a particular way that isn't harsh or cruel or you know, you kind of learn that over the years, how to say things in a way that's honoring to Jesus. But you can't be governed by how you think people are going to feel about what you say. Matter of fact, it's not even very comfortable preaching a message about church leadership when you're a church leader. But it showed up in Hebrews. All right? So you tackle it. But the point is, I'm accountable to Jesus. The elders are accountable to Jesus. And we have accountability to the body of Christ. Okay? Because but the way you should hold us accountable, like, is if we're not following Jesus, and if you don't feel like we're accountable to Him and leading in a way that would honor Him. So we serve the church on behalf of the church under the lordship of Christ alone. Now, next, the text says something pretty interesting. It says, "Let the elders lead with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." Okay, and the clock at the back says I'm running out of time, but we have one service today, so I'm just going to keep rolling. Okay? Let the elders lead with joy, not with groaning. So it's of no advantage to your souls to make church leadership miserable. Okay, and our church, praise the Lord, is not in this category. I am not a miserable elder. Okay? But there are some congregations that are not like this. Not like our congregation. And if Satan got his foot in the door, he could turn any congregation like that into a miserable place. And we don't want that in the life of our church. So let me give you 8 ways to help your elders lead with joy. Write them down. Write them down. 8 ways. First, your active presence and participation. The reality is, if you don't show up for a while, we notice. Okay? And it concerns us. Okay? And we realize there's reasons to be absent, but your active presence and participation is a joy, and it's important. It's not only a joy to the elders, it's a joy to the body of Christ. Second, avoid grumbling, complaining, and thinking the worst of your leaders about trivial things. Okay? The scripture says, do all things without grumbling and complaining. Children, you need to think about this in the home too, about your parents. Don't make your parents miserable by grumbling and complaining all the time, right? It's the same thing in the church. Yeah, if there's always grumbling and complaining and griping and gossip, that's a miserable place. And just remember this, elders are not making decisions with the intention of making anyone angry upset. You know, you're not sitting around praying about something and making a decision, going, yeah, we really want to stick it to them with this one. No, we really want to make them mad here. That's not the motivation. But we realize that sometimes we make decisions that aren't agreeable to everyone. That's going to happen. Okay, third, come directly to leadership with real questions and concerns. Okay, but don't come with every little annoyance. All right? But if you have real questions and concerns, bring those to an elder. Come meet with us as elders. There's nothing to be fearful of in talking through something you might be concerned with. Okay, next, communicate needs. We've already talked about this a little bit, but communicate your spiritual, physical, financial, whatever needs you have, communicate your needs. Do not assume we have already heard about it, and do not assume we have seen your post on social media. This is a problem today. People just assume that because you put it on Facebook that we have seen it. Here's the deal, okay? My Facebook feed is so big, there are people I would love to see their posts on Facebook that I don't see, okay? I try to like people. I need to set up just a page that's just church members, so I'll see everybody in the news feed. But just because you posted it doesn't mean we're going to see it. You need to communicate, and that will help us greatly. Next, commit to have skin in the game. Okay, don't just occupy a seat. Have skin in the game. When you're challenged to be involved in something like pray and go or giving or have some kind of emphasis, get skin in the game and be involved. Look for ways to serve your brothers and sisters of Christ around you. Don't just be a consumer of things. Be an active and engaged and take ownership over the mission we're trying to accomplish as a church. Next, remember that your leaders are human and will make mistakes. So be gracious and forgiving. Next, this would be encouraging to elders, is that qualified men should aspire to serve as elders and deacons, and the church should recognize them. Okay, the scripture makes it clear. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. In talking about deacons, it says, for those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. So it's encouraging to elders when you aspire to the office of elder, aspiring to the office of deacon, to take those leadership and servant functions in the life of the church. And so we need more. We need more elders. We need more deacons. As the body grows and to care for souls more effectively, we need people willing to say yes to those tasks and to strive for those things. And then the church body, you need to be watching and recognizing. Okay, here's something we could grow in as a church family, is that when there's a call for nominations for elders and deacons, that you participate in that. Okay, we need a much greater level of participation in that. So that means you need to watch who are men that are able to teach, who are men that are actively shepherding, even though they're not an elder, who are really watching over people's souls, who are guys that are just willing to serve. We need to call these men out as elders and deacons to help the church flourish in leadership. And for wives, I would encourage you to support your husband if God has gifted them and given them this aspiration. Okay, the reason I say this is because it is a sacrifice of time. It's a sacrifice of time to serve as an officer in the church. So I encourage wives to release your husbands to serve the body of Christ. It's one thing for a husband to be busy at all kinds of hobbies and things and being away from the home. It's another thing for them to be serving vocationally and for the body of Christ. I think of Proverbs 31:23, the excellent wife's husband. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. How is he able to do that? He's freed up by his spouse to have that leadership function. And so that's important. But probably the number one way you can support your elders is by praying. Look at what Paul says. Well, I think it is Paul, but whoever the author of Hebrews is, we don't know for sure. But verse 18, pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this in order that I may be restored to you the sooner. Pray. be praying for your elders, for the leadership in the church, that one, that we would lead faithfully. God would use our leadership for the flourishing of the church, for the flourishing of your own souls, and that God would be gracious to us as a church. And I just want to conclude by saying, I am so thankful for our church family. So very thankful for each of you. Those of you who are here, those of you who are watching on live stream, just so grateful for the spirit in our church body that makes it such a joy. When I read this passage, I'm like, yes, the elders of the church were able to do this with joy. And that's a wonderful thing. And that's a testimony to how the Lord is working in and through you in the life of our church.